listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Okay, welcome back to the second half of the Carol Cox Show, and I want to thank all of you for joining me, and appreciate the Department of Health and Board of Water Supply for stopping in, and there were many of the issues that we didn't get to address, but I wanted to make sure the concerns I had was some of the unsuspecting elder and some of the young that are really concerned with health and not fall victim to fraudulent door-to-door salesmen or people who will promise you certain things. As far as the chromium hexavalent 6, I am as concerned as anyone, but there are other issues in the interim that we fall prey to people out there that generally is not given consideration until it's after the fact. So be careful, be alert, and if you are concerned with the presence or the impact of hexavalent chromium, chromium hexavalent 6, talk with your physician. And I'm going to reach out to Dr. Palafox, and we're going to ask them to keep us posted on this one, and I'm sure with the other media and others, they will too. So hopefully we don't get caught behind the eight ball on this one, and your concerns are valid, and there's some flaws with the way the tests come, but nonetheless, no one is doubting that it's present. It's just that how are we going to handle it? So moving along with this effort, I want to thank for joining me, because I'm sitting here and we have Francis and the technician, and sometimes glitches come, and I'm new at this and old at the same time, so just bear with me. We're not trying to entertain you. I would just like to make sure you understand that at all times it's just a means of a conduit and an avenue to get some things out that we wouldn't normally hear and be able to talk about them at length and share our opinions and let you share yours. So 524-1080 is the phone number. Feel free to call up if there's anything that you think that you'd like to talk about. I'm going to leave this open, but and it will be posted, and I'll keep posting things on the website, carol@carolcox.com. And for those of you that do not have a website or internet access, I don't want to keep saying go to the website, and when reality is a great many of you are not familiar or have access to the internet. So feel free to call up and ask questions, and if there's something you have questions we can't answer, we'll go out and ask the state or federal agencies or whomever or city for those answers. So again, it's not about entertainment here, so if you think we're trying to entertain you, you're at the wrong show. This is not my purpose and not my intent, so bear with me with the not as sophisticated as the beautiful melodious voices of some others, but I'm not here for that purpose, and we'll take it as we go. So anyway, I want to again raise a couple of issues with you and share with you to be, you know, there's this new law about bulky items, trash, and you know that you can now get upwards of $250 fine if you put your trash out early. And while it can be unsightly, and people should be punished for littering or being irresponsible or what have you, I think that is something we all want, a clean neighborhood, and we don't want when piles and piles of trash stacks up along the sidewalks, it becomes a hazard situation for many people that are visual, the vision is compromised. Children are attracted to playing, or you just walk by and stab, cut yourself, could be a glass table. So that is something we should be concerned with, and it is unsightly, and people will come along, they see a pile, and they'll dump too. But again, that's where we, from that perspective. But my concern is that with this, and hopefully I can speak to many things, it seems that in this city and in this state, everything that is a problem, our city council and our mayors, both apparently now the new one has just taken up the baton and carrying it like the earlier ones, and that is, let's punish them, let's fine them, it's all about revenue, it's all about, and what are they going to do with the money once they get it, once they fine. So I'm going to read you something here. Recently, Mr. Caldwell, Mayor Caldwell, he signed a Peter Carlisle, I'm sorry, now the mayor, and we're going to hopefully reach out and ask him to reconsider this law and issue a directive that no one is prosecuted for this. We work with the public, and I'll tell you why. But in August 30th, Acting Mayor Kirk Caldwell signed into law Bill 78. And then here's what he said. Unfortunately, quote, "Unfortunately, a few property owners and tenants abuse this public service by setting out piles of broken furniture and other junk long before regularly scheduled pickup dates, which encourages others to dump even more material, Caldwell said. End quote. Our goal is to discourage this practice and the unsightly and dangerous problems it creates by going after those habitual abusers and not innocent property owners. Well, there's a big problem with that, and that is, first of all, it says that a few people do this routinely. So where's the logic? Why would a few be responsible? Why would all have to get punished? Why would they spend months writing up a bill when the mayor himself is saying, just a few are the acting mayor, it's a few people that causes this. So here is a problem. Now, they put the law in place, the city council passed it, it's now effective. What the city council and Caldwell, and I'm hoping Mr. Peter Carlisle, Mayor Peter Carlisle, will accept this and be honest about it, and that this is a law that, number one, was not needed, and it was a law that could already be addressed, violations could be addressed, by sending out a Department of Planning and Permitting inspector who could cite the land or homeowner for having the unsightly or the dangerous conditions with a bulky item pickup problems. But also, even if the person was to have someone dump illegally in the dark of night on your property, you would be responsible for it, and DPP would come by and occasionally would and have demonstrated they have the authority to give you a ticket or give you a warning, and then subsequently, if you fail to clean it up or address it, they can issue you a citation and a fine. Well, that's all about the people, what we're doing wrong. And apparently, anything we do in this town, anything, there's going to be a law that's the heavy-handed. It's as if we're becoming a police state. Everything, and when I say everything, anything. If it's parking, the first thing they'll do is go down and put up parking meters to cost you, to charge you, whatever it is. But in this case, let me lay this out for you. There's this new law, and let's take the bulky item, the services that the city provide. What if I told you that I have learned and have known this for a while but didn't fully understand it, but the bulky item pickup in each, we'll call it a yard. Let's take Town Yard or there at Middle Street, and there's a Pearl City and there's Lye and those kinds. They have a yard. And let's take Pearl City, for example. In Pearl City, for to have this law to be fair and effective, you would think that the city would have everything in place, because you wouldn't want to be unfair to the homeowner. Now, if I told you that the city is behind approximately 3 weeks in picking, meeting its routine daily schedule pickup trash, so let's say in the December, you had an area that Monday, December 27th, would be, let's say, Newtown, and the Pearl City Yard handles that. Well, I'm told and have information that the truck, the large bulky item pickup truck that they have, is more often broken down than it is working. So they have to use a smaller truck, and that they're already behind schedule, so they don't pick up. So if you put your trash out on the 27th of December of last year, and you were expecting, you put it out on the 26th, which would be legal, and routinely it was scheduled to be picked up on the 27th of December, today being the 2nd, you then are in violation, because you now have trash and you could be subject to a $250 fine. You can be fined that because you now have trash put out early. And the only reason you have it put out early is because the city was being dishonest and won't tell you that, in fact, they are delinquent in servicing these communities. And these communities are broken up into sectors. And let's say the Pearl City area, there's 8 sectors. And you go from Kapolei, Makakilo to Halava in that area. And if you only have one truck, let's say, and you're scheduling certain days, and that truck is broken down, you can't very well meet on your own part as the regulator. But the city went and hired 4 inspectors and dedicated them to going around now and ferreting out and looking and identifying people who, quote, put things out early, while the city knows that they can't pick up the trash because their trucks are broken down. Now, that's one problem. The other problem, I'm told, and from various sources, that not only is the trucks broken, half of their staff that man the trucks is on industrial leave. So that gives you, you weren't meeting the scheduled deadlines or the scheduled dates of routine pickup as a city agency. And that means your truck's broken, so you have further delay. And then you use a smaller truck, about a 20 cubic yard truck, that they use to do as backup. Then they also are required, and here's the evidence, they sometimes hire private haulers to pick up bulky items. So that's more evidence to say that the city is delinquent in meeting the schedules that it has set up, but yet will fine, and I haven't heard anyone come out, the mayor or the city council, to say this law will not be in place, we will not enforce it, and they should immediately say that if they were honest and if this was a democracy, they would immediately address that. So raise that issue with them and ask them if you live in any district, but primarily if you, I'm speaking right now to Pearl City and then the Middle Street area and others. But the men are not on the back of the trucks. So if they're about 3 weeks behind in picking up on their routine scheduled trips, why would the city not have made a public announcement saying we're going to, not a grace period, I think grace period is when you're trying to be kind and gentle, but when you're trying to be a fair and a democratic government and not punish people because you, the government, fail and your programs stink and you don't deliver, that's a bit of, it goes past being kind and courteous or neglecting the people's rights. It's fraudulent. And to know that you have this looming over people's head and then you're threatening them. So I expect to see Mayor Carlisle to come out and ask the city council, and I'm going to be asking them as a citizen and as sitting here talking to you, that we go ahead and put this law on hold. Those that passed it, the city council voted for it, and I don't know what's going over there in that house. It's a Honolulu folly, I think it's becoming, because they should have looked into this and gotten details, and I see it, but going in and talking to the city council is like going in and talking to a bunch of drunkards. All their concern is that their favorite drink, and that drink is to more taxes, more fees, and the fees will get more money by punishing and prosecuting and issuing tickets, and they seem to be punch drunk on more money. And this is wrong. And imagine people that are already stressed and strained financially, what they are going to do. And it's burdening the public with this. You know, some of the guys, I had looked early and done some interviews, conducted some interviews of some of the workers, and would you believe there are going to be people that are working on the back of these trucks or doing the bulky item will make $120,000 this year or the past year? Now, that's not to be demeaning of people that are picking trash and servicing trash, but how does one make that much money if the system is efficient? So that speaks to and give more evidence toward that the mayor should reconsider and the city council should reconsider this, because if you can make $120,000 with your salary and overtime working on the bulky item picker, that means you're working overtime, and that means you are, as a worker on the back of that truck, you must make two loads a day. But you end up making 3 to 4, and you get overtime. And so you're trying to play catch-up, but you'll rarely catch up. But now there's this new law, and no one's telling you that this law is, and you're going to get fined. And so we get fined. As not only that, we then pay extra money to the private haulers as well as the extra money to the workers. And if that wasn't, some of these workers are getting, in the interviews and talking to some of the workers, and they're open about it. I'm not going to demonize the workers. But in talking to some of the workers, I mean, they're legitimately making this money. The system allows that. $100 an hour. I'm sorry, 100 hours overtime for 2 weeks. And yet, this law looms over our head, and it's going to find its way in your back pocket. So if you put it out there again, if it's scheduled for next week on Monday, the system can't pick it up because the truck's broken or what have you. And then the inspectors come by and then issue you a citation. And what you will hear is that, well, I'm just doing my job, and if you have an issue with it, take it up with the mayor's office or call customer services. So imagine the complaints that will come in. And you know, bulky items is scheduled once a month for areas. And if you don't, the city don't pick it up again, you're left holding the bag. And some of the workers, I was talking to a couple of workers, and said they're, some of them on light duty. So there's another problem. So maybe you can make sense of it and ask the questions or ask City Hall. Why would they, in turn, create a law that would permit the city to tax us and to pay and make us pay fines that they haven't worked out and they can't deliver and can't perform? That really is a terrible problem that you and I will be faced with, and if you go to fight it, that's going to cost you time and money. And I don't know how that reflects on one's record if they get a $250 fine for putting trash out. I don't know if you put in the same category of burglars or robbers or bandits. I don't know. I don't know how that stands if you violate this new ordinance. If there's a felony level, one sofa constitute a felony, or who knows? But I'm being silly about this because that's what I think about this law. And yes, I know many of you would say, well, why don't we go down to the city hall? Again, like I told you, going to the city hall and participating in city council meetings is probably the most useless form of exercising of your rights and influencing and having a say in your government as anything on this planet. They are generally predisposed. 99% of the things have already been dealt with, just right down from putting it on the calendar, getting it heard in the committee. It's done by request. Take, for example, this bill. It was done by request, this Bill 78, for example. And just like that, clockwork, it work finds its way through the system. So no matter what you say and what you do in these meetings, they are already predisposed, and their decisions are made. And because this type of bill, there should have been some openness on the part of the city government, the workers, the people that plan these. And The Trash Man, the head of it, I think Dave Shiraishi and people like that get involved, and they will be able to say, this is what I did, and this is my mark on the... Tim Steinberger, Director Steinberger from the Department of Environmental Services, testified in support of the bill. At the direction of the committee chair, Director Steinberger stated that the department will look into picking up bulky waste from less busy areas on an on-call basis and provide services to busier areas twice a month. And that's all hogwash, because, first of all, how are they determining the busy areas when, in fact, the truck is broken down? And you end up having a smaller truck. Now, there's another truck that picks up washers and dryers and appliances. That's a different subject. But nonetheless, it becomes bulky item. And some of the other problems that I've found is that they service, you go downtown and you'll see some of these trucks down there servicing the hotels and what have you. You know they talk about privatizing. The city should, in fact, not be down picking up from hotels. Condominiums, these are associations, these are businesses. Hire the private, let the contractors, the companies that do private hauling take care of that. And therefore, then we can be more efficient. We, the city, can be more efficient in delivering and picking up this trash instead of giving you, the homeowner, all of us, a ticket as if we're criminals. But anyway, I'll be right back. I'll just take a break, and it's a new year, and I just want to play a little music and see what we can do here.
Ain't that news, man, ain't that news. I can't wait to get a home where we can finally be alone. Disconnect my telephone. Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news. Ain't that news, ain't that good news, man, 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 ain't that news. My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news. Good news, good news. Ain't that good news, ain't that good news.
Working on the chain, gang.
coffee so hard. Give me water. I'm thirsty, ma. My work is so hard.
Okay, Mr. Sam Cooke. And that other one was A Little Taste of Honey, Boogie Oogie Oogie. Just thought I'd play a little music and start the New Year's off, because I have some really great ideas of bringing some topics. And I think in the last couple of days, it's nightmarishly frightening to people coming out of the woodwork with different stories and different types of corruption in government, and people are talking, and hopefully as they talk, our government and our mayor does something to get this thing in gear and start taking some actions. And when we find people that are violating, prosecute them. I don't know. I keep talking about the Waianae Maile stream, the amount of money that it cost us as taxpayers, and it seems that everybody's going to walk away scot-free. So when there's a crime committed, no punishment. And that brings up an interesting point. Now, I know I have a bias for law enforcement, because I was once in law enforcement, and I know the difficulty, and it's a thankless job. But and I'm not making excuses. Let's take the Honolulu Police Department. We see that some of the officers have been cited for breaking in cars, or the allegations made, and some are shoplifting. And boy, you look at the paper and they cover that, and man, they're just all over the policeman. And punishment should be dealt out fairly. If a policeman, he has the ultimate trust. When we're in bed, the policemen have our trust. They're out there guarding against us. They're there making decisions and unbiased and to protect us. But it's funny, when a policeman finds himself in a predicament that there's a blotter, the policeman, the newspaper writes it up, and then the gentleman loses his job. But do you know that you can get caught for stealing copper, you can get caught for doing anything within the Department of Environmental Services, same city, state, city agency that regulates and that is employing the police department? But it's a funny thing, if a fireman gets caught, we hang him out to dry. Never mind the hardship that he goes through and the low salaries and what have you. And we treat them like they're the scum of the earth when it comes to putting them out and holding them as an example. But then I can take you to Waianae and show you where the people were stealing. I don't mean misappropriating. I mean stealing, fraudulently taking money and padding their books and all, and doing illegal acts, committing violations of federal law. And in turn, you don't see much of anything to do with the prosecution of these people. You don't see the in the paper, you don't see the head of the Environmental Services, Tim Steinberger, standing there explaining, as we task Mr. Kealoha, Chief Kealoha, with his, something's wrong with that picture. When a policeman gets caught, they're going to deal with him. I mean, there's a protocol. You can be assured. Now, there might be some cover-up and some handshakes and friend, but I will tell you, the tests and the acid test that they are faced with is, and there's a, and it's a program that they are going to be checked. Not all issues now are addressed properly. I'm sure I'm going to agree with you there. But how is it that the gentleman we documented a couple years back for taking, and the allegations were defrauding the city and what have you. And he was suspended, and then he's back now working. I don't know if he got compensated for off time and back time, but no jail time. But a policeman get caught doing something, and voila, boom. Give us his badge. He's on administrative leave. And I'm not defending the police department. I mean, they have their own, and they know their strategies, and they know what they need to do. But I'm just trying to draw a parallel to emphasize to you just how screwy this whole thing is with city government. Absolutely, the fraudulent practices within city government, and I've said it and said it again, but you don't see anybody going to jail. You don't see anyone losing their jobs. Police department has a union. We get flustered when we say, well, no, we need to see what happened to the policeman. We demand, we pound the table. We need to see what the firemen, what you did with them. Did they lose their job? And we task these folks, the chief and the fire chief, with this. But then you turn the page and you look at the city environmental services, the refuse department. You got people that are running around looking at things, that driving city trucks, conducting business out of the city trucks, all of that, misappropriating funds, and you hear nothing about any of them going to jail. You occasionally hear that Department of Transportation and the State Department, people went to jail or was punished. But when was the last time you heard someone in the city refuge department or the city environmental department? And so that brings me to this next question, is that why do we see this musical chair with Tim Steinberger? He comes back. Then we had Frank Doyle was in, and Frank Doyle is working now at the city transportation. But you don't see, and we're talking millions of dollars, folks. Not an officer taking something in a shopping cart at a grocery store. We're talking about people that are repeatedly violates our trust. And you don't see any prosecution. You rarely see. They'll do the story that city and county crew is accused of dumping cement in the river. And overtime is suspected, abusive overtime is suspected. You don't see any referral by Tim Steinberger or the mayor's office saying, we're referring this matter out to the police department for prosecution. Or we're referring this matter out to the Attorney General's office for prosecution, for consideration. So I'm thinking, as I've said early in earlier shows, that if we were to get a handle on just the Environmental Services Department, I believe, and based on my simple approach to this and my math, is that you and I as taxpayers can save millions. And to speak further, the types of the character that is tolerated in the climate that I've said to you in earlier shows, and where a lot of the workers within the city refuse department actually have TROs out on one another. And then you have within this department numerous allegations and cases filed on civil rights issues and racism and racial discrimination and sexual discrimination within this department. And they are operating, it's like the Wild Wild West. All of this now, mind you, is when the Corporation Council has to respond to any of these things. And I mean, it is a cesspool of wrongdoings, mistreatment of people, and yet you don't see anything on the evening news. You don't see any paper saying that these people are going to jail. But then you look up and, oh my God, the talk of the town is about the policeman who broke in a car, and he should be prosecuted. If guilty, they should take care of that. And it does not speak for the total of the Honolulu Police Department or any other law enforcement. You got bad apples or bad decisions at that moment. Could be a good man made a bad decision. But in the environmental services branch, as I laid out last week, I think I talked about, and I haven't heard anything back, and I'm going to be filing more requests for this to get back to you on this, but the supervisors, and you can see this on Carol at carolcox.com, I posted an email where Dave Shiraishi is working with the vendor who provides trucks to the city, sends two men from the refuse division, and also they took their wives, and the email talked about it, as some of you coming in later. It talks about making sure that they get a hotel near the Mall of America, and the reason they're sending their wives or they're accompanying their wives will find it might be beneficial that the wives understand how trash trucks are made. And make sure you get there's a, get tickets to the, or get a train to the Vikings game, what have you. To me, that's more egregious. Because, see, the police department is going to take care of theirs. There's the FBI will investigate if there's civil rights violations. You know, there's some constraints and there's some oversight. But over here in the cesspool, the Environmental Services Department, which houses Opala.org, and how appropriately named Opala.org, meaning trash. And that's what it is. It's trash. It's junk. It's nonsense. They spend more money tour day trash, sending people around to look at how things are recycled. And yet, when you're spending that money and you're creating fines if you put trash on the sidewalk, that won't be picked up routinely by the schedule. All of this speaks of something is badly broken within this city government. And I don't know, I can only say to you, I pointed out to you a while back the white bins at the schools. We spend millions making sure they get painted and hauled away, and there's a contract. The contract was competed for, and there were some questions I raised and what have you. But nonetheless, it's a contract. But when you step back and look at the total amount of money and the total amount of overtime, as I pointed out there with some of these gentlemen, guys on light duty, for example, I went over to one of the teachers I know at Iroquois High School, alerted me that there was a city truck, and I talked about the city truck that had Christmas lights on it for the parade. And the information was that there's a city truck over here with Christmas lights at the school. So I immediately hurry over there that early morning because I couldn't believe that the city would allow a city truck to be taken, and three men had to take that truck over so that children could see a truck with Christmas lights on it. Okay, got a caller there. I was trying to patch him in. Caller, go ahead. What's your question, statement?
Yeah, Mr. Cox, I just wanted to thank you for being an advocate for the taxpayers, the citizens of the state of Hawaii, and advocating on our behalf and, you know, ferrying out the corruption that we have here. And, you know, i.e. the police department and with city workers, city and state contracts. It's just, I mean, it's a whole montage of different things that are happening that the public needs to be made aware of. And you, personally, have been an environmentalist, and your show, for me, I can only speak for me, it's a springboard for, you know, the public and myself being aware of what's going on around us and, you know, edifying us to these conditions that need to be changed, or maybe probably prompt most of us to become more active, you know, civically in the city and the state that we live in. And that's basically all I want to say. Thanks again for being the advocate that you are and the professional that you are. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you, caller. It is painful what we have going on here within the city. And it is absolutely, for me sometimes, it's really frustrating. And that what we see is that government has a responsibility to be honest, first of all, to start off doing what's right by the people, because it is our government and these services, when I say our government, it's these services that we should have afforded to us because we pay for them. The people that are running these, the Steinbergers, the Shirishis, and the others, this revolving chair or this door or the musical chairs that they play, say a lot about the lack of, you know, again, I got to be careful, and I don't want anyone to think that if a policeman did something and I witnessed it, you called me up and then I would be reluctant or refuse to talk about it. No, I'll talk about it. But you'll see Chief Kealoha or Boise Carrera in the past or the chief being held to a standard and, your guys did this and we're going to ask you to resign, or, you know, we hold that great acid test we submit them to. But when was the last time you heard anyone call Tim Steinberger? Even in the city council meetings, they sit there and they stop short of rewarding him with a candy drop or a lemon drop or something to reward him after he sit there. And or this is with any director of the environmental services. You don't see them asking, well, what about the racial discrimination cases? What about the sexual harassment cases? What about the abuses of the overtime? What about the abuses of industrial leave? And as I told you, I'm told the gentleman was on light duty for a while that went back with the truck, that took the truck. He has been troubled with injuries, but he had time to come back on duty to go take a truck to see the children. Well, what's wrong with that picture? Because to take that truck, they had to be there before the school opened, so that meant they spent overtime to get the truck to this area. We don't need abuses like that in these times, and when we see this, but you don't see anyone calling the director or the chief, the equivalent of a chief of police, and though he, you know, he's the head of that agency, the Department of Police, Honolulu Police Department is a part of the government headed by a police chief. But you don't see anything there. But we have a police commission to oversee somewhat the police chief. But in the environmental services branch, anything goes, folks. Anything. And you've heard me talk about the mafia and what have you. These guys can set you up and work you over, and the next thing you know, if you aggravate one of them or you report one of them for violating or stealing the superintendents or the acting superintendents, what happens is the superintendent don't get involved with you. He hires his, quote, goons or his other guy who has gotten in favors with him. And if you think I'm falsifying and creating this, I could go on at length with this whole thing. And so why am I sharing this with you? I'm going to say I'm sharing this with you so that you can say to Mr. Carlisle and say to the city council, we need some changes. We don't need a $250 fine to pick up the trash if we fail and put it out early. We need penalties and we need criminal punishment on people that steal from us via industrial illnesses, light duty, overtime, illegal dumping, going outside the scope of their duty to conceal and make money on the taxpayer by burying cement, for example, and there are many other things. The Kapaa Quarry, the illegal dumping of the leachate water from Kapaa landfill into the Hayer Marsh. Nothing ever happened to that. No one was prosecuted. But you did hear about the policeman who was caught in Mililani, supposedly, the allegations that he was shoplifting. So he supposedly takes something from a company, and man, we've been out of shape over that. Well, we got to go, there goes the police department. Look, they got a lot of crooks on there. And we're being set up by the environmental services director and the superintendents and the deputy directors who cover up and who has never, ever, ever been called on the carpet and asked specifically by city council or anyone. So there is no commission that would review theirs. Whatever they say is what the mayor say. And that's what they get away with. So this coming year, I think it's a new year. And I think you as a taxpayer, don't get motivated by get motivated by looking at the increase on your income tax, your taxes on your property taxes, and the fees and the fines that are being imposed. And where is all of that going? It's going to feed a corrupt system, a system that reaches back into the bowels of nothing, this ugly animal, and pluck from that and recycles directors and people that have no named deputy directors because they couldn't stand the test. They wouldn't stand up ethically and be, they couldn't stand the scrutiny of a public scorn or public scrutiny. So they put them in deputy positions. So we need to really ask Mr. Carlisle, look, you're a prosecutor, number one, so get busy, take care of us as people, as taxpayers. Let's reduce taxes by cleaning up divisions like the Environmental Services Branch, the Refuse Division, and all of that. And anyway, it's a new year, and I didn't seem to change. I think I've gotten a little more excited. So I'll talk to you later, and thank you for joining me. See you next week.
I'm a dying man, won't you give me water?
For listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.